Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people died, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died.
Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me.
For the children of Zion.
And there we are. Can you hear me now, brother?
I can hear you.
Okay, we're live on the air. We had some technical difficulties tonight, and that does not surprise me at all. And as we are doing this series of shows on the satanic deception, doing a series of shows on the prince of the power of the air, and as we try to go on the air here to talk about this matter, it doesn't shock me at all that we're having the problems we're having tonight. But we've got them resolved, and from this point on, we hope to have smooth sailing. Brother Jason Cooley, my co-host from Northfield, Minnesota, Old Paths Baptist Church, and it's good to have you with me tonight, brother.
Amen, brother. It's good to be here. We're finally coming in loud and clear here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear, brother. You're loud in my headphones, so
right.
Hopefully you're coming loud through the speakers of those listening, and hopefully we didn't lose anybody as we were a little bit tardy getting on the air tonight. And but anyway, it's good to be with you tonight, brother. And been a good week in the Lord, in spite of everything that the devil has tried to use against us. We're blessed to be a child of God. I'm glad tonight to be born again. I'm glad that no matter what may come my way, I know that my name's written down in heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done for me, because he saved my soul from hell. And I'm thankful tonight that I have the truth, and that, the devil, though he can do what he may, but he cannot take that away from me.
Amen, brother. That's right. Once you're born again, when the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, the Bible says, and that is free from the bondage of sin and from the bondage of the devil. I'm happy to be able to say that the Lord saved me as well, and he washed me in his own blood and changed my life. About 11 years ago, 12 years ago, he changed my life, and I've never been the same again. and put me on a new path here, called me to preach the Bible and to teach others and to pastor, and I'm so thankful for the ministry that God has given us, and we've been busy. Our online ministries are very busy. This show, especially here, very busy. Downloads and people are responding to what they're hearing, and we get to reap that reward of service for the Lord there, and to see that it's having an impact on people's lives. And that's exactly why we do it, out of obedience to the Lord and to see God work a mighty work in His children.
Amen. You know, I tell our church congregation, you know, they look around and they see the small number that we have, and you know, I've never pastored a large church, and I'm not one of these big name preachers. I'm just small. I'm small potatoes. I'm a little minnow in a big pond. But you know, I tell them, you know, don't look around here in this church, and because brother, we live in the midst of a big wicked city, you know, there are plenty of churches that are full every Sunday morning. And it's not that we don't preach the truth. It's because we preach the truth and we don't apologize for the truth and we don't trim the truth. You know, we're not in the finest location in the biggest building. We don't have all the fancy programs the world has. We don't use the world's entertainment to bring them in. And because of that, we don't have the great big crowds, but we got the Word of God. And I tell them, you know, folks, just because we don't have the big numbers in here, don't think we're not reaching people. Because people we broadcast our morning services. We broadcast sometimes our evening services on Blog Talk Radio. We also stream our services, our Sunday morning services, live on Ustream. We have our own Ustream channel. And I know you put yours out there on Skype, and we're reaching a lot of people, brother, even though they may not be inside the building where we're at when it happens. And because of this program, because, like I said, because your sermon audio page, we're reaching a lot of people with the truth. And that's exciting. That's very exciting.
Amen. Absolutely it is, brother. And with Brother Finney and Church State Law Ministries and helping churches with the 501c3, and this show has been a blessing to do that too, to be able to get that message out there for churches to come out of the bondage of the state and to honor their Lord and organize right according to biblical principles. And we're blessed to be able to see the fruit from that here. This last week we were able to see a brand new church that was born
Amen.
A church that organized right and did it the Lord's way, and we're grateful for that. And there's more to come. We've got a few of the churches that have contacted us, and so the Lord is blessing. Even though Satan tries to hinder the work of God, we continue to trust the Lord by faith and continue on and put on that spiritual armor and get ready to battle and to resist the devil. And tonight we're going to do just that with this. What we want to talk about here is Satan, the anointed cherub. Really get an understanding of who Satan is. And I think, again, we've been deceived. And we need to understand exactly what the Lord has for us to learn from the scriptures about Satan.
Yes, sir. Amen. I agree with that 100%. Speaking of Brother Finney, I spoke to him this afternoon, had a good talk with him, and I don't think we're going to get him on the program tonight, but what a blessing he is. And I'm excited to have him as my friend and to be able to labor with him in the ministry. He's such a powerful blessing. I just want to give a little shout out to Brother Finney, our good attorney friend from Austin, Texas. You know, where would I be tonight if I hadn't heard the truth? You know, I'd probably be as mixed up in, you know, because this world tries its best to, make churches become creatures of the state. And we saw, you know, I'd probably be mixed up in all that had it not been for me hearing the truth about that matter and God smiting my heart and me getting things straight. I didn't know where to turn. I'm thankful God led me to a man like Brother Gerald Finney, who gave me some truth on it. And once I saw the truth and I wanted to get right about it. And, I hope and pray there's some men of God out there tonight who are hearing us, who'll prayerfully consider that, you know, as long as their church is under the headship of the IRS, then it's not under the headship of Christ. As long as it's under the headship of the Secretary of State's office, it's not under the headship of Christ. And we saw in the news this week, I know I posted a link and you shared that link, that IRS agent speaking with an abortion, I guess, protester. I'm not sure what they were, but they were certainly an organization that was protesting against abortion clinics, and her telling the lady that basically you need to keep your faith to yourself, that you have to respect other people's beliefs. And in other words, she was telling her, you know, if they believe in abortion, then you need to respect that. And so the noose is tightening, isn't it, brother?
It sure is, brother. It is tightening, and we've got to be on our guard, because churches need to wake up and organize right and not be fooled by the devil, not be fooled by the devices of Satan when it comes to this. And I know there's some good churches out there that have incorporation status that maybe don't know this information, and they got to start somewhere. But I just hope and pray. I know it's not what we're talking about tonight, but I really hope and pray that they would make that right decision and get a hold of Brother Finney and learn how to get their church organized right, because the noose, when it tightens, it's going to tighten so hard that they won't be able to serve the Lord. There's articles going out about this right now. I think the one of the big lawyer firms, the liberty-minded lawyer firms out there, has released, I've got an email about this from Brother Finney, and stated that they were concerned about churches that are 501c3s renting their building out for weddings and such, that the homosexual agenda is going to come and they're going to say, listen, you've got to rent this out to us too. You can't, you're a nonprofit organization, you're a 501c3, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to discriminate against us. So mm-hmm. they're trying to talk them into writing it all in their bylaws and trying to change everything and all of those things. It's a crazy situation is what it is, and it's getting worse. The devil is at work, and he is ready to take over the churches as much as he can.
Right. Isn't that a shame? Churches are having to look for loopholes to dance around the rules.
Mm-hmm.
What a tragedy. Who would have ever thought we'd have got to this point? You know, I mean, it's so sad. And, I mean, brother, I tell you, this week has been and I know we're going to get into the show in just a minute. And yes, we are talking about, we're continuing this Satanic Deception series and talking about Satan being the God of this world. And we're going to talk about his attributes and where he came from and how he became who he is today and where he's headed ultimately. But, I tell you, it's been a tough week for me. I'm not going to make any bones about it. It just seemed like it all hit me, you know, with this PRISM program. And as I began to read about PRISM and as I began to understand just how much our country has become the mirror image of Nazi Germany. I mean, we're not to the concentration camp level yet, but we've turned into a dictatorship right before my eyes and your eyes, and you know, there's nothing anybody can do about it, and that's what's really sad. There's nothing we can do about it. We just have to sit and watch it happen. You know, we know it has to happen, but brother, to watch it happen is such a heartbreaking thing. And to see so many people so deceived while it happens, it just boggles the mind. It's like watching a million trains go off a cliff all at one time, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Well, it's you know, whatever the Lord leads tonight, we'll just obey Him. But I will say this to you about all of this is leading up to Revelation 13. It's leading up to that worship of the beast, that all the world will wonder after the beast, and who is able to make war with the beast. And brother, I've seen so many sad things this week. That PRISM is one of them. Just a blatant, it's lawlessness, brother, is what it is. It's absolute antichrist lawlessness. No,
yes, sir.
no, no respect for the Constitution, no respect for decency and morality, no respect for the family, no respect for anything. It's a lawlessness that the whole earth is being consumed by, and America
right.
is leading the charge of this lawlessness today, and it's satanic. The whole thing is absolutely satanic. When you look
right.
at to listen to people's conversations and to conduct yourself that way and to lie about it and act like it's no big deal, it's satanic is what it is. It's
Amen.
And the Bible foretold about it. You're not going to be able to buy, sell, or do anything. You're not going to be able to function in this world without taking that mark. Is what that's what we're seeing foreshadows of right now.
Right. I'm not sure if it was you that posted the link or if it was Brother Tino, but someone posted the link of a video of the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, some 72, I believe it was 72, maybe it was 5,200 employees or contractors who had downloaded child pornography there
right.
at the Pentagon.
Yeah, brother, that's right. But, you know, I was reading the other day that our government, the FBI, kept a child pornography site open for like
right.
2 or 3 weeks longer, and they were funneling out child pornography because they said they were trying to catch people. Do you realize how wicked and absolutely satanic that is? You're telling
yes,
me
sir.
The United States federal government ran a child pornography ring and those men aren't in prison?
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, but, you know, if we really understood what all goes on within our government, we would, you know, I really believe that those who stand for the truth would probably charge Washington overnight, or at least they would have years ago. I don't think anybody anymore wants to do anything but sit at home, eat potato chips, and watch American Idol. But I can go down that wormhole, I guess, if I let myself. But that's not why we're here tonight. You know, I can get down, but I don't want to get down tonight. I want to keep my eyes on Christ and stay on the positive side of things. But we're going to talk about. Go ahead.
It shows you the prince of the power of the air is what it shows you. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Because this is nothing other than the hand of the lawless one. That president of the United States that we have now is nothing more than Nimrod. He is a picture of Nimrod. Who wants to conquer the world. I mean, foreign nations are upset about this. What is this? It's all satanic leadings. And I realize that the NSA are listening to these, and I understand that could put you in a bad place. And I understand very well what they could do because you tell the truth. But I remember what Elijah said. Have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Right. Right. That's what the Apostle Paul said, wasn't it?
That's right.
I'm going to become your enemy because I tell you the truth. You know, and hey, I just want to say hello to the NSA tonight. And just let them know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that someday He's coming back to this old world, and He's going to sit on the throne of David, and He's going to rule with a rod of iron, and He's going to rule the nations. So have your fun while you have your chance, because someday He's going to rule. Someday you're going to wish you had listened.
Amen. Amen, brother. Well, let's get into this anointed cherub that covereth here tonight and talk about him, Satan,
right.
and understand just who exactly he is and what he has done. Brother, if you want to read, I don't know if you have your Bible handy at all there, or
yes, sir.
Of Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 12, and read from 12 down to 19. It gives us an account of Satan, and if you could read that, then we'll start. Well,
sure.
Then I'll explain some of those things.
Okay, let's go ahead and read. I hope maybe you're out there listening, you've got your Bible, and turn to Ezekiel chapter 28, starting with verse 12. And the Bible begins by saying, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they shall know thee among the people. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more.
Amen, brother. The Bible is very clear as to what took place there, as who Satan is or Lucifer is here. And there's some references here that we understand that God is not talking to when he's giving this prophecy, when Ezekiel's giving this understanding here and kind of a reflection and a prophecy for the future. He is saying that thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. But the first thing that he says here, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
Yeah, I think there's some powerful words right there. Thou sealest up the sum. In other words, nobody could have been any better.
That's right. Right. No created being could be any better than the way that he was created. No one could have had more wisdom than and beauty than Lucifer.
Yes.
And see, we have taught today, or many churches have taught today, that Lucifer is, they give this idea, they'll do a vacation Bible school and they'll try to teach these children that Lucifer has a pitchfork and he runs around with a tail and he's got horns coming out of his head and he runs around, he's a red devil. Well, listen, that's not who the devil is. That's not who Lucifer is. He is the anointed cherub that covereth. And he was a very beautiful, 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 is a very beautiful, beautiful of God's creation. Probably one of the most beautiful, or if not the most beautiful of God's creation.
Do you think the origin of the image that you just described, the pitchfork, the horn, the tail, I mean, is that Greek mythology? Where does that come from? Do you know?
I think it does come from Greek mythology. It also comes from, I believe, it's kind of like a hybrid is what it is. It comes actually right from the Greek mythology, from the hybrids. And, that's another show altogether, but I do believe in such things as hybrids were out there. And I believe I can prove that from Scripture, but not tonight anyway. That's not what we're talking about. But anyway, what that says, though, is that, you know, this is supposed to be, this is the satyr or the satire, some call them. That's kind of what it was, this kind of horned god that came out of that. And Satan had his... They kind of likened it to Satan, and mythology ran with that. Then some Christianity ran with that, and probably back in Constantine's time and times of those, you know, in those eras, or a little bit further than that. But anyway, that's where it comes from. I believe that's the origin of it. But that's not who Satan is. The Bible's very clear that he is full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That is his deception, my friend. Satan's deception comes from the fact that he is a beautiful angel of light. And he is not, or comes as transformed an angel of light as he appears to man. But he is not this ugly, scary-looking thing. He is very scary and intimidating, and we don't mess around with the devil. We don't play games with Satan. But he's not what modern-day man has tried to make him to be.
Right. And, you know, as long as you have this caricature in your mind, you know, I grew up with... the comic book Hot Stuff, which was so it's the acute little devil. You know, I went through some family pictures here a while back and saw a picture of me on Halloween, probably 6 years old, and had on a devil costume. And, you know, and I thought to myself, what was wrong with my family back then to think that it was okay to dress me as the devil? But, you know, this caricature, it keeps people from seeing the real devil. It keeps them from understanding just who he is. And you know, as long as he has that masquerade, he can keep himself hidden, and he can continue to deceive people. And he's certainly doing a good job today.
Yes, he's and that's part of his wisdom, as we see here, full of wisdom. He was full of absolute wisdom. You know, that no one was wiser than Lucifer as far as created beings goes. Now we remember. Always remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is not created. He is God. He is Lord of all. He is King of Kings. He came and made himself a man, and he died on the cross for our sins and rose again for our justification. He defeated
Amen.
Death because he is God. He is God. Amen. So we understand
Amen.
The Word was made flesh. So when we're talking about Satan, we're talking about Lucifer, we're talking about that anointed cherub that covereth, we are saying that he is a created being. So he is the highest of the created beings, but he's not the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I think, and that needs to be said, because there are a lot of people, I think, who attribute some of the attributes of God to Satan. And, you know, as I said, I think last show, or maybe I said it, I've said so many things in many different places, I can't remember what I said where, but he is not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. God limits what he can do. And he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. You know, I think a lot of things get blamed on Lucifer or Satan that you know, he gets too much credit sometimes. You know, he can't be everywhere all at the same time. And some people, I've heard them say, oh, the devil was messing with me, Satan was messing with me. I think they're flattering themselves. He doesn't, you know, they're not that important. But he does try to disrupt the work of God. And he does dispatch his fallen angels to do his bidding, you know, in all places. But he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. And he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. And that's something that needs to be, you know, restated. He is not the same type of being as God. God is God. He's not anything but a creation of God.
Absolutely, and I have another sermon. I preached a 10-part message on this. I just finished it up last night, and I talk about that in the God of this world, in the message called, there's two messages, the God of this world, and in that message, I cover that to where he is, I compare some of his power, you know, and show that, no, he's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He does not have those attributes, and we could talk about that sometime too, as well. I'm sure there's plenty of to cover this topic of Satan and Lucifer and understand it. But right now, what we're really discussing here is the origins of where he came from. Obviously, he was created by God, and obviously, he was sealed up perfectly in wisdom and full of beauty. Nothing better. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. He was perfect mm-hmm. in all his ways. Hard to believe that, isn't it? That how devilishly wicked he is now, and what he was before.
One time he was perfect. I tell you what, brother, we're gonna have to pause. You know, amazingly, 30 minutes has flown by, and a good segue into this song we're gonna play, the Marksman Quartet. One of my favorite songs, actually. My sons and I played this Sunday morning. It's a song. It's all talking about troubles in your life. It's called Stormy Dark Waters. The Marksman Quartet on the Old Paths broadcast. We'll be right back. And I want to give the call-in number. Let me give the call-in number real quick before we go to the song. 646-915-9266. One more time, 646-915-9266. The Marksman Quartet, Stormy Dark Waters on the Old Paths broadcast. Thank you.
storms have been gathering way over my head. The worst is around me, the stillness has fled. Stormy dark waters roll over my heart. Winds and storm clouds contribute their part. Stormy dark waters, around me they roll. The winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But off in the distance, the sun shines at last. The stormy dark waters soon come to pass. The sun has been covered by clouds all the day, but I know it still shines. I can tell when I pray. Though we all love smooth sailing and a warm southern breeze, stormy dark waters bring us all to our knees. Stormy dark waters, round me they roll. The winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But off in the distance, the sun shines at last. Stormy dark waters soon come to pass. God charged the waters, so fishers and men just hoist up your mainsail. Let your journey begin. Stormy dark waters round you will roll. Just don't let the thunder trouble your soul. The journey's soon over. We'll say for it last. Dark waters will all come to pass. Stormy dark waters will soon come to pass. Stormy dark waters will soon come to pass. Stormy dark waters.
Stormy dark waters soon come to pass. I'm thankful they do come to pass. That's one of the greatest things that when I think about troubles. You know, they come, but they come to pass. And we're going to have tribulation in this world because we've got an adversary. We talked about it last week here on the program, our adversary, the devil. And tonight we're talking about, we're talking all about him. He's the God of this world, but the little g God. He's not the big God. He's not God as God the Father is God. He's the little g God. And he's a created being. And he's a troublemaker. He's a deceiver. But we're looking tonight at where he came from and how he got to where he is today so that you have a better understanding. So, you know, if you don't understand your enemy, it's hard to fight an enemy. You don't know. Brother Cooley, I remember the first sermon that I ever preached in my life. And it was at a little country church right outside of Clarksville, Texas, 35 miles down the road from where I'm sitting right now. And the first sermon I ever preached, they let me preach, get up and preach in a little country church. There was about 7 people in the congregation. And I preached for an hour and a half solid. And it was preaching on knowing your enemy. So this is familiar territory to me. because I mean, it was the very first thing I ever preached on in my entire life.
Amen, brother. And it's an important one that is not preached on very often. It is ignored. Satan is very much ignored in the spirit world as a whole is ignored. People are scared of talking about it. Preachers don't study anymore. They just have soul winning sermons. They just want to build a big church. They entertain the goats and don't feed the sheep. And the sheep are being devoured by the wicked one, by the wolf that's coming in, and the lion that is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour.
That's absolutely right.
We've got to arm the saints of God, brother.
That's absolutely right. I was on my way down here today to do this show, and I stopped off at a little garage. There's a guy that I know. Actually, the reason I stopped off had nothing to do with him. I stopped off for another reason, but this man that I know, and he used to claim to believe the scriptures, and now he's one of these supposedly messianic Christians, and he throws out a whole lot of what we believe. And but anyway, he was talking about the spirit world, and he and I was talking back and forth, and there was another fella in there, and he's a charismatic fella. He goes to a place called a family worship center, and they speak in gibberish tongues, whatever you want to call it. I don't believe in that nonsense. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches, but that's a whole other show. But anyway, you know, we started talking about that. He said, you know, I don't believe that stuff. He said, I don't believe none of that stuff. That stuff, y'all get spooky about that if you want to, but I don't believe none of that stuff. I said, well, the spirit world's real, whether you want to believe it or not. He said, well, that stuff don't scare me. I don't believe in that stuff. And that's what a lot of people are. They don't want to talk about it. You know, what we don't understand scares us. And that's why a lot of people won't even read the book of Revelation, because it scares them. They don't understand it, so it scares them, so they ignore it. And that's the same reason a lot of people don't want to hear about what's going on in our world today, in our nation, because they don't understand it, and it scares them. And so we're trying to pull the curtain back on it, and dispel some of the myths so that people can understand these things. And so once you know, the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. And we don't need to be ignorant. If you want to be willfully ignorant, that's your own fault. But, I mean, you know, the information's there. And so that's what we're simply doing tonight is just going through the information.
Amen, bro. That's exactly what we're doing. We are trying to bring the truth out to people, just taking it from the Word of God. We're not using any fanciful interpretations, not dealing with the Word of God deceitfully or after a cunning manner. We're just taking it straight from Scripture. And the next point here we have is Ezekiel 28, verse number 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Lucifer had been in Eden. He had been in the garden of God that God had made for man. He had been there. We know that from Scripture tells us that he was in there and what he had done. Incidentally, that word means, that word shining one, that word Satan, or that word serpent means shining one. And Lucifer is called the light bearer, or the one with the light. So that name fits him as the serpent in the garden as well.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, and I know it's a little off topic, but there are a lot of statues around this country of ours of the light bearer. And he's worshipped in a lot of places. People don't even realize it. I'm trying to think of that place. I can't remember if it's Chicago or if it's in New York. The statue of Prometheus, mm-hmm. it's simply an homage to Lucifer is all it is. And if you ask me, I believe that's exactly what Statue of Liberty is as well, is another homage to the light bearer.
Mm. Yeah, that's a whole nother topic there. But I'm gonna kick
the lid off a can of worms if I go there. Wanna?
Yeah, we'll lose all the patriot crowd if you start talking against the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, exactly.
you'll lose all sense of it. But hey, we want to take our truth from the King James Bible.
That's
and
right.
I don't care what America says. I don't care what our nation says. Hey, I love living in America. I thank God for this country.
Amen.
And everything else. I don't hate this country. I want it to do right. I want God's blessings upon the people of this country, but I'm not gonna sell myself into patriotism for anything in this world. I'm gonna follow Jesus Christ and His word, because I'm a citizen of heaven first.
Amen. Amen. Like the old gospel song says, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through.
Amen, brother. That's exactly right.
Amen. My family, I've lost more family here than I've got, and they're all over there waiting on me. As far as I know, they were all of them that have gone on, except with the exception of one, I know, profess to be believers upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So those that I knew, I'm looking forward to seeing them again. And they're over there waiting on the other side, and they're certainly not hanging around this world. So I'm looking to get out of this one and get in the next one as soon as the Lord's ready for me. But let's get back to it. You know, when I read this, that every precious stone was thy covering, you know, that doesn't sound like the guy in the red suit. That doesn't sound like I hate to use these worldly references, but that doesn't sound like the guy on the cover of the Ronnie James Dio albums. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't look like the guy on the video game covers. That doesn't sound like the guy that he's portrayed to be.
No, that doesn't at all, and that's not who he is. This is who he is right here, this anointed cherub that covereth, that he was made for that purpose. And these jewels that he wore, they were like the breastplate on the high priest in Israel. If you'll notice that in Exodus 28 and verse number 15, brother, I don't know if you want to read that verse, verse 15 and 16, and talk about some of the, just mention those stones that were there on him and what he exactly wore. But in those verses, we see that from verse 15 all the way down to 20.
Okay. All right. Yeah, absolutely. The Bible says in Exodus 28:15 through 20, "And thou shalt make a breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod shalt thou make it, of gold and of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being double, the span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. And they shall be set in gold in their enclosings."
Amen, brother. And those, and I appreciate you reading those scriptures for me tonight, brother, because I'm trying to save every word I can here, with my throat's a little, acting up a little bit here tonight. So I appreciate you helping me out with that as well. And we love to read the Word of God anyway, and that's
right.
The blessing of it all, that we have it and we can read it. Amen.
Amen.
But what we see here is, these precious stones were the same as the high priest wore, and the same that you'll see in the walls of the New Jerusalem one day. You will see those same jewels there. They give a majesty. They give an idea of a majesty and a holiness that he was holy. He was perfect, and he was around the throne of God. He faced the throne of God. He was right there. And people just don't understand where Lucifer was, and we'll talk about that a little bit further. But just his appearance here is that of beauty, just an absolute. That was his covering, and that's how much God cared for him and loved him,
right.
And how God blessed him so greatly when He created him.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about it. We never think about that. God loved Lucifer in the beginning. I mean, it's not like the Mormons teach that he and Christ are brothers. Nothing of that nature. No, God created this being for the express purpose of being a covering of his throne. He was there, and it was as though he was the chief guard in heaven, as though God needed a guard. But my brain can't fathom why God would need a guard, because he's God. But he was the chief angel there to take care of that area.
And you know, brother, here's the thing about it too, is God didn't need it. God wanted it. And he wanted to have a covering. He wanted his holiness to be covered and hidden, because there were not too many that could approach the throne of God. It was him that, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes here. After we get discuss the tabrets here, I think we'll hit it the next hour here. We'll talk about actually the stones of fire, and we'll talk about a few of those things, how exciting it is to understand actually where Lucifer was and what he was allowed to do and how he fell. He fell from that, and how God lamented that he fell from that. It's just, it's sad, really, when you look at it.
Right, and you look at, like you said, you look at the covering that he had, and, I mean, we can't even fathom, really, that beauty. There's, you know, I've been in a lot of jewelry stores, and I've seen a lot of things twinkling and shimmering and glittering underneath the glass, but we can't imagine the beauty that surrounds the throne of God. There's no way for our human minds to comprehend that. You know, even if you've been to England and saw the crown jewels, there's no way for you to comprehend all that. And, you know, God covered him in this beauty. It was as if, I mean, it was as if it was his uniform, and God made him beautiful, to identify him with God's throne. Like you said, that's the uniform that the high priest wore to identify themselves as the high priest of God. It is the stones that make up the wall, and that we're going to see when we get to be with the Lord. I mean, it is the markings that refer to the Lord. I mean, it was. What more can I say?
They're the markings of majesty is what they are.
Absolutely.
And he was in the presence of that. You know, another interesting thing is it says, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said this, Lucifer did not need an instrument of praise. He was created an instrument of praise. He was the instrument of in heaven. He was that.
Yeah, that's something that I just really noticed here. As I was reading this, you know, just the other day, you know, that the tabrets and the pipes were prepared in thee. And I know that I've said over the years preaching on this and just absentmindedly said, you know, that these instruments were prepared for him. But that's not what it says. It was not made for him. It was made in him. And that's something that, you know, the human mind tries to imagine that and yet really can't get a grip on that. You know, we're looking at because we've had this. I'm just going to say because, you know, I see so many Christian women and I'm not picking on Christian ladies at all, but they ignorantly post. We talk about Facebook a lot, but, you know, there's a lot of people posting a lot of things on there. And they post these pictures of these female angelic beings, and that's not Bible. First of all, we don't know for sure what angels look like, and to post an image of an angel is, you know, that's not of God. That's not what God wants us doing, and we have no idea what they look like anyway. And, you know, all we have to go on is what man has already drawn for us or painted for us. And first of all, again, there's no female angels mentioned in the Bible, and they're not like we imagine they are, and this is just a good example of that.
Absolutely, and the fact that the Bible never calls Lucifer or Satan an angel, it says that he is the anointed cherub that covereth. It says that he is, you know, he comes as an angel, he's transformed into an angel of light. I believe that deals with his powers to shape shift and to change, and I know that sounds crazy to some people, but it's not crazy because he's transformed, it says.
Right.
So we understand that. That is what's taking place. But these tabrets are in him, and prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. The workmanship of thy tabrets, those pipes that were in him, built into him, they're small drums like they used to beat out the time. And pipes probably refer to the tubes used to produce tones by blowing air through them as in an organ. This shows us that the devil has the makings of his own percussion instruments and wind instruments built in his very being. Who he was, they were built into him like that. Now, consider all the problems that we have with music today in this world. How filthy music has become, how these people put their pen down and they say they're ghostwriters and they start to write music that is purely satanic and of the devil, and we understand that the devil is inspiring them and he's the master of music. He was the master leader in heaven of music.
Right. And you know, if you take this and you let it get in your head too much, it can absolutely drive you away from music completely. But don't, you know, and that's exactly what the Church of Christ does. They won't have anything to do with music in their services because they believe that it's wicked, because, you know, Lucifer, you know, was in charge of the music in heaven. He was the music in heaven. And, you know, he was the master of it. And, you know, you can take that too far, but the music is there to glorify the Lord. It's not there for any other purpose. That's why it's there.
Amen. That's what music was for in the first place. And if it doesn't glorify God, then you and I shouldn't be playing it, and we certainly shouldn't be listening to it. If it doesn't bring praise and glory to God, because that's what music was for in the first place. It is interesting to note, though, that in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 21, it says that his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. Well, this is a descendant of Cain. That had this music, and I have to wonder. Now, I'm not saying that music is wicked, obviously, because the Bible talks about music.
Well, David certainly used it, man.
Absolutely, and the Bible talks extensively about using it. The point is that the devil has his own version of it, and he's the master of that version of it, and he uses it to sway people away from worshiping God to worshiping him with it.
Right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, I know that all too well because I played, you know, I played rock and roll music and I played country music and I certainly, we talked all about that, you know, two shows ago. And I certainly know the power that music has. It has power and, it has power to touch the human heart. It has power to touch the emotions and move the emotions. But, you know, it has the power also to bring God glory. It has the power to elevate our hearts, our human hearts, to worship God. And, it draws us away. It can draw, just like it can take that same flesh and it can move that flesh in a sinful way. It can also elevate our spirit above that flesh and make our heart tender toward God. And, you know, and that's, I believe with all my heart, that's the way that God wants music used. He wants it used to elevate him and magnify him. You know, I mean, who isn't stirred? What Christian isn't stirred when somebody sings the old rugged cross? I mean, I don't know how you can listen or when someone sings How Great Thou Art. I mean, that song, it ought to make you realize. It ought to stir you. You know, when somebody sings, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, you know, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. You know, when I sing those songs, it gets my mind on the right things. And I, you're right, brother. I mean, we got to use music the right way, because if we use it the wrong way, we're dishonoring our Father.
Amen. And I believe that Satan is the master at doing that, obviously, because if we look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. You see, music was used there in a satanic nature, in a seductively sexual nature, and it was used wickedly, and the devil used it. It was the devil's music that was being used, and they recognized that Egyptian tunes right away. And Joshua thought it was war. He's like, there's war in the camp. He said, no, that's just their rock music playing, that's all.
Yeah, you're right about that, brother. And, that's the way it sounds on Sunday morning in a lot of churches as well.
Well, that's just right. I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ was walking past those churches, and he's walking past them, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he just looks over the car's eyes and says, well, that's war in the camp. That's noise. Would I be welcome there? Would that welcome Jesus Christ? Do you actually think Jesus Christ would be headbanging and rocking out with a bunch of satanic music and a bunch of satanically led rhythms and lyrics and everything else like that? You think he'd be rapping for God? No, he wouldn't be, my friend.
No, I saw where someone had posted a video of a church down here in Killeen, Texas, which is down close to Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, and it was a church, and I say, when I use the word church, I'm using it very loosely, and they were up on the platform, a whole bunch of them, doing some kind of dance called the Harlem Shake. I'm not familiar with it. I had never heard of it before in my life, but that was what it was called, and I mean, it was the most vulgar dancing, and it was a very worldly beat and worldly music, and I mean, for somebody to say that's a church, it just beyond my comprehension why anybody would do the things I saw in that video and think that that had anything remotely to do with the Lord.
Deceived by the great deceiver, my brother, and it's rampant, and is these apostasy. I don't believe the falling away is coming. I believe it's already here. I believe we're seeing the foreshadowings of that falling away right now.
Yes, sir. You are absolutely right about that. And Satan is leading the charge. He's absolutely leading the charge, and he is absolutely okaying what they're doing and convincing them that they are doing nothing wrong, but they are embracing the world so that the world will embrace what they're doing, and that is just not going to work. You don't bring Satan into the church to bring the world into the church. You go out and you preach the gospel to them, and you bring in the ones who believe the gospel. You don't bring the world in to save them. You go out
Amen.
And you win them. And that's where we've gone wrong. We could do a show on that as well, but we've gone wrong by thinking we're supposed to just flood the church with lost people and hope they get saved. That's just not how it happens. You're going to corrupt your church if you do that. And that's what's happened so many times. Oh, we'll bring in the world. We'll bring in the world's music. We'll bring in the world's dance. We'll bring in the world's attitude in order to reach them. But it just never works. It never works because that's not God's plan. That's not God's way.
Amen, brother. That's absolutely correct. It's not God's way. It's the way of the God of this world, though.
Yes, sir. You are right about that. And I've seen it so many times, and like I said, I think it was last show or the show before, you know, right down the street here from where I'm sitting tonight, and I'm sure it's the same way. I'm sure it's the exact same way where you're at in the big churches. You've got your early service for your old blue hair crowd who want to sing the old stodgy anthems with the piano and the funeral dirge organ, and then you've got the new crowd, youthful crowd, the long-haired crowd, the party crowd who wants to come in and have their dance music and sway back and forth and juke and jive in the pews and get a little thimble full of something on the way out the door out of a corrupted book that claims to be the Bible. It's just, you know, I can get really pessimistic about it if I'm not careful, but it's sickening to me what has happened to places where the gospel used to be preached, where places where truth used to be bellowed from the pulpit.
Yeah, it's the way of the world, brother. That's the way they go. And the God of this world, this Satan, this anointed cherub that covereth, is the master of music, and he knows how to pervert it. He knows how to how to change it, and he was in charge of the music in heaven. He understood that he was the musical instrument in heaven, and we see the ramifications in our churches today that is happening because of them following this God of this world.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, brother, we're right at the hour mark. We're going to take a break. And as we go to break, let me give the call-in number one more time, 646-915-9266, 646-915-9266. And as we go to break, we're going to go to break with some godly music. It's a song from the Marksman Quartet. We're featuring all their music tonight on the program. And one of my favorite songs, Brother Mark Wheeler on the vocals, Love Letters in the Sand, all about when he stooped down in the temple as the woman taken in adultery was accused. And here they are, the Marksman Quartet.
A scarlet woman caught in her sin, brought to Jesus by self-righteous men. We caught this woman in the very act. We all saw her. That is a fact. We're not dumb, we already know what Moses wrote down a long time ago. But we came to see what you would do with this woman of scarlet hue. He wrote love letters in the sand. Love letters in the sand. They stood around the stone while he wrote love letters in the sand. He never raptured this religious band, just stooped down slowly and wrote in the sand. Then in a firm, compassionate tone, set with him without sin, cast the first stone. Then kneeling down as he had before, wrote those beautiful words once more. There in the sand knelt God the Son, and they left him one by one as he wrote love letters in the sand. Love letters in the sand. Stones in their hands while he wrote love letters in the sand. And raising himself, he looked in her eyes. Who condemns thee now, O daughter of mine? No man, Lord, was her humble cry. Then Jesus said, neither do I. He wrote love letters in. Love letters in the sand. They stood around the stone in their hands while he wrote love letters in the sand. He wrote love letters in the sand.
Back here on the Old Paths broadcast, Brother Brandon Teague alongside Brother Jason Cooley, Love Letters in the Sand. I'll tell you, I'm thankful I've got a Lord that forgives sin. I'm thankful, he doesn't overlook sin. You know what he said to the woman, he told her, he said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, go and, it's all right if you continue to do that because, hey, you've been forgiven, so you can go do it as many more times as you want to. You can live like you did before. That's not the way it is. God wants us to live holy lives in his power under the leadership and the direction of his Holy Ghost. And he doesn't intend for us to be in bondage to sin and in bondage to Satan. He has set us free. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen, brother?
Amen, bro. That's my life verse. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what a difference the Lord Jesus makes in your life.
Yes, sir. Amen. Praise God for that. I'm so thankful to God that he changed me, and I'm not the same that I was before. Amen.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Now, as we look at Exodus, as we look at Ezekiel chapter 28 again, and we're looking at this anointed cherub that covereth. This, what is his? What did he do, and what was his role? Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse number 4 will give us a clue as to that. It says, "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory." He is that anointed. He was that anointed cherub that covereth. He was up there covering. He was covering the throne of God. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 20, it says, "And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be." Do you realize, Brother Brandon, that his face covered the mercy seat? He looked, and he spread his wings out, and he covered the mercy seat. He actually saw God face to face.
Wow. That's just mind-blowing. And I really can't fathom why, when he saw how merciful God was, when he saw how incredibly loving God was, how he let pride cause him to swell up against God and to see God as evil. It's just beyond me how that took place. I mean, I know I've been preaching for a long time, but still, it's just beyond me how he could not have understood that love. I mean, there he was. You know, the mercy seat, again, the mercy seat was there. And the mercy, he had to have known what the mercy seat was there for, shouldn't he?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Full of wisdom. He understood it completely. But see, here's the problem. He was the anointed cherub that covereth, but he coveted instead of covereth. He coveted the throne of God instead of wanting to cover it.
Hmm. Wow. You know, you can't say he wasn't close. He was right there. You can't, you know, it's just an amazing thing, and it's no shock that you know, Judas is called the son of perdition. You know, Judas was right there at the Lamb of God. Satan was right there. Lucifer was right there at the mercy seat. Judas was right there, sitting at the same table, sleeping on the ground next to him. I mean, he was right there. And
if you notice that, brother, the thing about that is that Judas, the Bible says that have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. It also says that Satan entered into him. So when you look at Judas, he followed the same exact design, because he was indwelt by Satan. He followed the same design as Lucifer did on the throne of God.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Amen. Blows your mind. I'm telling you, blows your mind.
It says in Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse number 3, "And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linens, which had the writer's ink horn by his side." God calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. He was anointed to glorify God. His whole mission with music was to glorify God. That's why you and I were created the same way. It was to glorify God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We weren't made to live unto ourselves. We weren't made to glorify ourselves and lift ourselves up. And no, that's exactly what Satan did. That's exactly what, or Lucifer, that's exactly what he did. He lifted himself up. And, boy, I think so many people are missing the boat. They just don't understand this Christian life. They just don't get what being a believer is supposed to be all about. And man, Satan has fooled so many people. He continues to fool them. I'm talking about people who sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And they listen. They sit there in the pews. They agree. They nod their heads up and down. They say, oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. But then they walk right out those doors, and they continue to lift themselves up and to glorify themselves and not glorify God. They do exactly what Satan has deceived them into doing, and they absolutely deny what God has told them to do.
That's right, brother. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was there. And the Lord said, and I have set thee so, that God set him there, and God made him, and is reminding him. God is reminding Satan in this lamentation that he does, how art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer? He's reminding him here that I set you so. I made you. I am God. I created all things. And I created you to glorify me, to be a guardian of the throne of God. I set you so. It was me as God above that set you with all your power.
Right. I mean, what a privilege he had. How do you put a weight on what he threw away? How do you put a value on what he threw away? It's the same thing a person throws away when they hear the gospel and they don't receive it and believe it and trust Christ. I mean, he threw away eternity. He threw away, you know, love. He threw away peace. He threw away an eternity of sharing in the glory of God, because that's the great, you know, that's the thing about it. Brother, he may not have been in first place, but God gave him access to that place. And, you know, we're going to have access to that place someday. And how many people throw that away? How many people don't, you know, they just absolutely throw that away?
Oh, you're right, brother. That's exactly the same MO, following the same mode of operation that Satan had, that Lucifer had. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. I do believe here, brother, that God is lamenting the fact that Lucifer is anointed cherub that covereth sin against him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We see it in Isaiah. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just going to say, you know, he did love him. There's no doubt that he loved him. And for him to turn on him like that, it just, yes, I mean, God can be grieved. We can grieve God. You know it grieves God what happened.
Yes. Yes, that's why he wrote it twice. He wrote the lamentation there, and he wrote it, take up this lamentation. Then in Isaiah, he did the same thing again. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? He said, now he is talking about the fact that here is a man that walked in the midst of the stones of fire, which we'll talk about, and he walked in the midst of those, and how he had fallen from where he was, from his place. And this is future tense as far as the fact that he will fall from heaven. He has fell from his exalted position. He no longer will be the anointed cherub that covereth, because he doesn't want to be. He ignored God. He sinned against God. But he still has the same power. He still has much power. But Isaiah chapter 14 is telling us future what's going to happen. And God is lamenting at the fact that Lucifer will be cast down to the ground. He will be ruined. He will be destroyed at once and for all one day in the lake of fire.
Yes, sir. Yeah, people don't need to forget that. One of these days, he's going to have to bow his knees before Jesus. He's going to have to bow his knees, and he's going to have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One of these days, he's going to have to bow. And I tell you what, I look forward to that day. I look forward to the day whenever he has to bow
amen,
and confess.
Brother.
And confess. Amen. And, you know, God's going to be vindicated. Don't just mark it down. God's not God. God doesn't lose a thing. God's going to be vindicated, and this is a battle, and we don't ever need to forget that. And listen to me, Christian, if Lucifer can deceive you, he does it to spite God. He hates you because he hates God. He does it because he did lose that position. He did. He does it just to thumb his nose at God. He don't ever think for one second that that he doesn't hate God. That's why this world hates God. That's why they crucified the Savior. That's why they want to get rid of the Bible. Because this is, I mean, this, listen, he's calling the shots in this world today. He's the driving force behind every bit of evil that goes on in this world today. And he's the one behind the corruption in the country, in the churches, in your home, on your television sets, on your radios. He is the one behind all the corruption because he has animosity toward God, and he wants to spread as much corruption as he possibly can, all the while painting himself to be the enlightened one and painting God out to be something he's not.
That's right, brother. That is exactly what Lucifer has done, and he's a master at doing it because he's that anointed cherub that covereth, and he had that special function from God that God gave him to do. He was that cherub, and as that anointed cherub, he was the light bearer, and angels need light in order to function. And that's why they are called the stars in the Bible, because they need that light. And we read that they are chained in darkness, the ones that left their first estate. The cherub's function was to guard the holiness of God, but instead of covering it, like we said before, he coveted it.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And, you know, if you look at the rest of that passage over there in Isaiah chapter 14, and by the way, if there's anybody out there who listens to this program and you've got an NIV, if you'll take and look at your NIV and then look at the King James, you'll see real quick that Satan's fingerprints are all in that NIV as he puts Jesus in his place in that very scripture.
That's absolutely correct, brother. The NIV does that, and that's not on accident, brother. That's on purpose. And I talk about that in a sermon I preached last night called the last and final one, Satan, the transformed angel of light, and that's what he does. Satan is very religious. People don't give him enough credit. Satan is very religious, and the most religious activity he has is Bible versions today. That is a very religious activity, isn't it?
Amen. And you know, he I'm quoting from memory here. I'm trying to think about over in Isaiah chapter 14. You know, he said he will exalt his now am I right place there where he said I'll exalt my throne
above the stars of God. That's exactly what he
said. Above the stars
of
God. Yeah,
yes, that's right, brother.
I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. And he's still trying to do that. He's still trying. I mean, listen, that's why people don't pick on. I mean, you know, people are asking questions right now. Why aren't they putting down Islam? Why aren't they putting down this religion? Why aren't they putting down that religion? Why is it just the Bible? As if Christians, you know, to me, Christians sound like a whiny athlete that got a penalty called on him. You know, we ought to know why. It ought not be a mystery to us. There's a reason why Satan's not bothered by Islam, because Islam is, he knows it's a joke. He knows it's a bunch of phony baloney nonsense. That's why he's not threatened by Buddhism or Taoism. That's why he's not threatened by any of these other religions, because he is the manufacturer of them. They're counterfeits. His only threat is God, and he wants to absolutely turn all of his attention, all of his focus on discrediting God, because he hasn't given up yet. He hasn't conceded yet. He's still trying to put himself above the throne of God.
Absolutely. And the reason for that is because he wants to do everything that Christ is doing. He wants to do everything that Christ has done. Ephesians chapter 1:20, we see that Christ is above all principalities and powers. And that's what Satan said. He will exalt his throne above the stars of God. Well, Jesus Christ already has done that. He sits on high above all principalities, above all powers.
Right. So he's trying his best to appear as if he is the Savior. He, you know, and again, when he comes as Antichrist, he is going to appear as if he is the Savior. He's going to come as a false Messiah. And, folks, he's just preparing this world for that.
Well, absolutely. And, he's preparing this world, brother, through Superman, this new movie that just came out, Man of Steel, that comes out, how it's, you see 20 different ways where this guy is claiming to be Jesus Christ, the Messiah, pretty much. In the whole movie, it's shaped that way. Somebody said to me, well, I can't believe that. That's so wrong. Why? That's the whole design of superheroes in the first place, was replacement gods. They were there to show you something different. They were mocking the Bible.
Absolutely. I said Wednesday night, you know, between Santa Claus and Superman, they sure have stolen a lot of Jesus credit.
Amen, brother. That's exactly right. They have done that. They've perverted everything from Santa Claus to, like you said, the superheroes. All of them have been a perversion. What are they? They're preparing people for the Antichrist. Because Satan is that anointed cherub that covers, he has that power, and he says, I will exalt my throne. Yeah, he's the god of this world. He's the king of this world. He does have a throne, but his throne is still underneath the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. But he's giving it everything he has to continue to ascend. He is, I mean, you know, it's little by little. And you know, let's break this down to the human level. He's not just ascending on a grand scale. He's ascending in people's hearts and people's minds. He is on the ascend. He is convincing people that a little bit of wrong is not going to hurt them. He's convincing them that being a little bit more worldly is not going to hurt them. He is ascending in power in people's subconsciouses through the music, through the television shows, through Hollywood, through all these things, these inroads that we've been discussing, these deceptions, and he is constantly ascending. He is constantly exalting himself and trying to exalt himself higher and higher. He's like a hungry politician who's not happy to be the mayor, who wants to run for governor, who wants to run for senator, who wants to run for president. He's wanting to advance his career, and Satan is wanting to exalt his throne. And he wants to exalt his throne in your heart and mine. He wants to convince us to cow down to him and not be what God wants us to be.
Amen. That is his plan. That has been his plan always. And those five I wills that we see there, we see five I wills there that the Bible illustrates to us and shows us exactly. What Satan is up to. He says again, he says, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. Well, that's the Messiah's place. In Psalm 48, verse number 2, we see that that's Messiah's place. He wants to rule the world. He wants to ascend above the heights of the clouds. The Bible, though, says that Jehovah rides upon a cloud. That's what the Bible says. It says, the burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rides upon a swift cloud. But that's what Satan wants to do. When Jesus comes back, brother, he'll be coming back in the clouds.
Amen. That's absolutely right. Yeah, he wants to be God. There's no doubt about it. That's what he wants to be. But you know,
to put it in modern day terms, he has a major God complex.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And he wants to be worshipped. What he wants. He wants to be worshipped. And you know, there are people doing that all around the world. And again, I've watched a lot of videos, and you watch a lot of videos of preparing for these shows and these messages. And one thing I kept seeing over and over and over, when they were interviewing Satanists, they were saying, you know, what is Satanism? And they said, you know, it's the worship of self. It's when you become your own God. And, you know, that's what Satan wants you to do. His worship is when people worship themselves. They're not falling down at some altar and drinking blood and sacrificing babies necessarily. I know that has gone on and does go on. But when you worship self, you're worshiping Satan. When you worship your own dictates, your own will, you are becoming not conformed to the image of the Son of God, but you're being conformed to the son of perdition. You're becoming conformed to the God of this world and not the God of heaven.
Amen. That's exactly what takes place. And the Bible is telling us that Satan, he wants to take the place of God in the hearts of men. He wants to sit on the throne of God. And he says here that he will be like the Most High. Those five I wills, he says, I will be like the Most High. And what that means is that he's going to come manifest in the flesh somehow with the Antichrist, and he's going to rule and reign and be the power that the Antichrist needs, and all the world will wonder after the beast, and the devil will fill him and use him, the Antichrist, to try to take over the entire world, and will take over the world.
Now, in Ezekiel 28:16, you know, the Bible says, by the multitude of thy merchandise. Now, we were talking about this earlier today. I was asking you your thoughts on that. And like you said, it's just trafficking. And, you know, when you use the word trafficking, you think, you know, you can think of drug trafficking or the human sex slave trafficking that goes on. And, you know, or trafficking or pornography, however you want to put it. But that's exactly his business. He's like the most evil organized crime boss there ever was. And he is trafficking in human souls. And he is trying to buy and sell you and buy and sell me. And he will throw everything he can at you to try to keep you from serving God. The last thing he wants you to do is to glorify God with your life. The last thing he wants you to do is to let your life be a testimony to the grace of God, to the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ through his precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, from preaching the resurrection of the dead. And he doesn't want that. He wants to make merchandise of you. He wants to buy you. And, you know, the greatest thing you can do is say, you know what, devil, I'm not for sale. I've already been bought. You can't have me because I've already been bought. And you need to realize you're bought with a price. And that price is the most expensive price that's ever been paid in the history of the universe. And that price, and I'm talking to born-again people, that price was the blood of the only begotten Son of God. So you're the most expensive item that was ever purchased if you're a child of God. And you ought not ever let Satan make merchandise of you.
Amen. He loves to traffic in the souls of men, and he loves to bring them down, and he loves to play games with them. And the Christians, he loves to traffic among them too as well. And he's that old accuser that works and never stops, never sleeps, never slumbers, always working towards a goal, always trying to bring the people of God down and to bring reproach and to harm the kingdom of God. That's his work. That's what he does. And in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 17, it says here that thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. You know, his heart was lifted up because of his beauty and because of his talents and because of what God made him. You know, Christian, whether it's a pastor, a preacher, a street preacher, it can be anybody, any one of us. Whatever we do for the Lord, whether we play instruments, whether we play music, you know, whatever we do, we can be lifted up with pride over what God has done for us. And we forget what God has done for us. We forget that God gave us that talent. We forget that God blessed us with that. And our own talents, Satan gets in there and uses those against us. So then we fall sway to his wickedness.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. We absolutely do. Puffed up with pride. Can't tell you how many times I've seen pastors, and I know you have too, that get so prideful. And, brother, I've been accused of being this way, and I pray to God that I'm not this way, but I think a lot of people, they look at a man of God who preaches the truth and stands for something, and they call him prideful. Listen, my pride's not in me. I read a very powerful quote this last week, and I can't quote it verbatim, but it was from General Robert E. Lee, the great Confederate general. And he said, you know, he said, I tremble when I hear that people have confidence in me. And he said, you know, if our nation is to succeed, it will be because people had confidence in God. And what a wise man he was. You know, you don't need to have confidence in yourself because you're going to fail. And don't let Satan puff you up and cause you to think that you're something that you're not. Because I can tell you right now, the older I get, the more I realize that I am nothing, and Christ is everything. Brother, we got 30 minutes left in the program. We're going to take another break. This is going fast tonight. And I want to take us out to a break with another Marksman Quartet song. It's an old Lubin Brothers song. It's one called Preach the Gospel. And we'll see you on the other side of the break on the Old Paths broadcast.
The old Lubin Brothers song from 1953. I can't enjoy my Bible just reading here and there. I like to take it as it comes and never skip a line. No need to read the verses that say you'll enter in. If you don't like the one that reads, you must be born again.
Preach the gospel, trust God, He'll give you words to say.
Preach
the gospel, regardless who it hurts, pray the God will have His way.
I fear we have some preachers well thought of in their church who change the text God chose for them, afraid of who they'll hurt. They'd like to pick the scripture that's easy on the soul, afraid they'll lose their job if they get on their members' toes.
Preach the gospel, trust God, He'll give you words to say.
Preach
the gospel, regardless who it hurts, pray that God will have His way.
Back yonder sits a member, the preacher tells himself, but he's never missed a service since I've been the pastor here. So I'm led to mention whiskey and how it dooms your soul. But since he drinks a little, well, I'd be getting on his toes.
Preach the gospel, trust God, He'll give you words to say.
Preach
the gospel, regardless who it hurts, pray that God will have its way.
Preach
the gospel, trust God, He'll give you words to say.
Preach
the gospel, regardless who it hurts, pray that God will have His way.
That's right, brother. Just preach the gospel regardless who it hurts. Pray that God will have His way. That's a good old song. Amen. Yeah, I tell you, that's the way it's got to be done. You've got to preach unapologetically. You've got to preach without fear. You know, as the Word of God says, be not afraid of their faces. Just let her fly. Rear back and let her fly. Preach the truth. Don't worry about stepping on toes. Don't be like the cowards out in California, like Rick Warren. Not all of them are cowards. But Rick Warren, what a coward. I'm telling you, he turns his back on the Word of God. Brother Cooley, I know you've seen this stuff here lately. He's endorsing a blend of Christianity and Islam, and now he's come out in favor of the homosexuals today or just this week. I mean, what a wimp. And I'm sorry, you know, people just get mad at me, so you shouldn't talk about people like that. But I'm calling him a coward and a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well, absolutely. I'll be honest with you, brother. I don't even think the man is saved, because you can't believe in the God of Islam and the God of the Bible. It's, you can't mix those two together. They don't mix. There ain't no way. You can't get that out of anywhere. But you can get it in the religion of the God of this world. And that man
Absolutely.
Is a reprobate and a devil is what he is. And he is the high priest of the New World Order. That's what he is. He is in the New World religion. He is a new world. He took over for Billy Graham is what he's done, and he's the high priest of it. He's taking it 10 steps further because we're slipping into apostasy worse and worse.
Yeah, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and that pretty much says all you need to know. I mean, he's one of the dark, shadowy people working behind the scenes, but he's got a smiley face when he gets out in public. And, you know, one thing about it, you know, I've heard people talk about witnessing the Hindu. You know, they're happy to accept Jesus, and they'll put him on the wall with all the rest of their gods. You know, they'll just add him to the pile. And that seems to be what Rick Warren's trying to do. He's saying, hey, believe in Jesus. You need Jesus. But, you know, just add him alongside Allah and everybody else. And, you know, it's all the same God. It's such a lie out of the pit of hell. And, you know, again, it's Satan ascending. That's what it is. Satan is rising. This is his time is short. His time is short. He knows it. But his time in the sun's coming. And he knows that, too. Again, if he stood beholding the face of God over the mercy seat, surely he knows that his time is coming.
Absolutely, Satan knows the Bible better than most Christians do, and he knows what's coming. He knows what the end is going to be. He's not blinded by that book. He understands it perfectly well. He knows his end is coming, and he knows that he's gonna. But he's so deluded by his own pride that. That, you know, in his own wisdom, that he doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him anymore. He will do whatever he will do to be God of this world. And he really foresees himself. When you see what Lucifer did, when you see what Satan did to Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, when he came to him and tempted him on the mount, when he took him up to the pinnacle and he said, all these kingdoms of the world will I give you, that will fall down and worship me. Do you realize he was asking God to worship him?
Yeah, that's really the most mind blowing part of it. And you know, I know you and I have talked about this. It's just really, you really get to see who he is when you look at that. That he told the Son of God to fall down and worship me. And yes, I know these kingdoms of this earth were in his control. But nevertheless, to have the nerve, to have the audacity to say to his creator, you fall down and worship me. And that ought to be a wake up call to people to understand that they are practicing Satanism when they're doing their thing and they don't care what God wants. They are doing exactly what Satan did out in the wilderness. They're saying, play second fiddle to me, God.
Absolutely. When Satan, when he came to him, now remember now, take this scene back to heaven as the anointed cherub that covereth. He covered the throne of God. Jesus Christ is right there. Amen? Because he's eternal and he's always been.
Right.
And Jesus Christ is right there. And Satan knows full well that now the scene is switched and now God is come in the flesh and dwelt among us, and he came down onto earth, and now the God of this world, Satan is the God of this world, stands there, and he says, well, you're going to worship me now because you're in my world now. This is my world, and you're going to fall down and worship me. And Jesus just looked at him and rebuked him with the word of God and said, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, thou art an offense to me. He said, you know, thus it is written. You know, it is written is what he said to him. He used the word of God to fight that anointed cherub that covereth. A lot of power Satan has that we don't realize. Lots of power that he has.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, he fought him the same way every Christian has to fight him. He was our pattern in showing us how to fight the devil. We don't fight the devil with our hands. We don't fight the devil with our cunning wisdom. We fight him with the word of God. The word of God is what defeated him there, and it's what will defeat him now in your case. Don't turn to earthly means. You turn to the Bible. It is your defense. God is your strong and mighty tower. He is your buckler. He is your shield. You to turn to him and let him fight the battles. He's won every round, and he's not going to lose the next one. So, I mean, there's no sense in you trying to battle your battles for yourself.
Amen. That's right. We've got to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. And we can't fight the devil any other way than the plain way that Jesus taught us how to, with the Word of God. And he will be defeated one day. He'll be put down forever. But this anointed cherub that covereth, the Bible says in verse number 18 of our text chapter here, thou hast defiled thy sanctuary, but thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities. We talked about that traffic in his sin. The very holiness that Lucifer had was defiled.
Right. Absolutely.
His anointing was to guard that throne, brother, and to cover and to let nothing evil approach it, nothing sinful to approach it. And what did he do?
No, he absolutely turned into sin itself.
That's right, he did. And he led a rebellion. He led a rebellion against God, and he was the main trafficker. Now we understand that Satan, you must understand that Lucifer, as anointed cherub that covereth, he started the trafficking in heaven. He trafficked angels first.
Right.
He trafficked them first and said, hey, you know, well, we're going to do our own thing here. We can do this. We gotta get this done. We can take God. We can take this throne and we will be like the Most High. And that's what he did.
Absolutely. And, I see right here in that same verse 18, he said, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them that behold thee. So he's saying, you know, this power that you have grabbed hold of, it's going to destroy you in the end. You're not going to be successful. And, he's a fool to think that he's going to be successful. He's a fool to believe that anything good is going to come out of all this.
That's right. He is, but he's so deluded by his own brightness and so deluded by his own wisdom, his own pride, that he cannot, that none of that consequences matter to him at this point. He knows his fate and his end, so he's going to do whatever he can do, just like he put it into the heart of Judas to betray the Son of Man.
Right. Brother, we got two callers on the line. Actually, one of them's your father-in-law, John.
Okay.
And he wants to come on live. And also, I've got a pastor friend of mine named Mike Clark. He wants to come on live, too. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring John in. Mike, if you can hang on there a few minutes, and we'll bring both of you in. Let's go ahead and bring John in. Yes, sir, brother.
Pastor,
what you got for us?
Pastor Cooley, I was listening to your broadcast, and I was following along with what you said about the merchandising there. And one of the greatest lies that Satan has always posited on people is the fact that he has been greater than God, or he's at least God's equal. And the thing about it is that if you look over in Romans, it says that he changed the truth of God into a lie. I preached a message called The Exchangers, and I used that. And think about it, was he talked about also the money changers in the temple. Satan is always good at changing things over and exchanging them. He's a trafficker and a merchandiser. He's called the lie and the father of it. Jesus called him that. And I used to practice witchcraft before I was saved. And one of the greatest things he traffics in is not necessarily so much the fact of supernatural wonders, even though he'll do that in the book of Revelation, but his whole game right now is camouflage and deception. And one of the things he's turned on in the churches is the fact of getting people to always call upon God and make themselves the center of attention when they call on God. God, give me this. God, you know, make me feel better. God, make me this, that, and the other thing. And the thing about it is that God wanted us to turn our attention toward him, not toward ourselves, and he doesn't want us to make God a slave to our ambitions, desires, and needs.
Amen, bro. That's good.
Absolutely. He's a master trafficker. There's no one that can traffic like Satan, and no one that can fool man. we not only have to worry about our own hearts, because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, but Satan works in tune with man's heart, and he knows how to manipulate it.
Amen, brother. I'm gonna bring Mike Clark in. Mike's a good friend of mine from way back, and Mike just got back from a missionary trip over to China. And Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Brandon. Good. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
Yes, sir. Amen. What you got for us tonight, brother?
Man, well, your y'all's topic tonight couldn't have been more timely for me. I've been enrolled in seminary studies, and right now I'm going through the studies of doctrine of Satan and demons. And so to hear what you guys are talking about tonight is very timely for what I've been studying. And one of the things that we've been studying about is how Satan deceives believers. And one of the ways he deceives believers is through a perverted gospel. And he can take a gospel passage and pervert it in the minds of people. And, one scripture, the one of the most famous scriptures from the Bible is John 3:16. And, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. And I have encountered many people since, going into full-time ministry who look at that scripture and say, well, because God loves me, that it's all I have to do is believe. And it's just a head belief. And I just got to teaching my students the other night, Wednesday night, is it enough to just believe? And we talked about Satan and how, does Satan believe in Jesus? Is that enough to save him? And it really opened the eyes of my students, because when you go into the Bible and start reading it, Jesus says, I think in the book of John, if you follow my teachings, you are my disciple. If you confess and if you believe, there's something deeper there than just a basic belief. You can't go on as a homosexual believing just because you think you believe in God, is that you can just continue to go on sinning. So I think what you guys have been talking about has been very timely for me, and that was just a thought that I had. It was very timely because I just taught it to my students the other night.
Well, amen, Mike. Hey, appreciate you calling in tonight, brother, and you're right on, brother. I just got through preaching a message entitled, Does Jesus Believe in You? And, I believe it was in John chapter 2, Brother Cooley, where, it talks about Jesus. He didn't continue with those people because he knew what was in man. And he didn't need any man should tell him. He knew what was in man. And he's right. He does. He perverts that gospel and makes that easy believism. All you got to do is you just believe in him and you can go on and you'll go to heaven because you believed in him. But no, it's more than that. It's absolute. It's a heart change. It's something only God can bring about. It's something that when God brings you to repentance and you turn from your love for self and love for wickedness, and you turn and believe upon Christ and you cleave to him, it's so much deeper than just saying, oh, well, good, I believe in Jesus.
That's right, brother. It's a heart belief. The Bible talks about that. There's very clear that repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan is the master perverter of Scripture. Like we talked about, all these new Bible versions and all these perversions that are out there. He'll take one word and that word will mean something completely different or be interpreted as something completely different. And it's very sad. But it is what's going on, and people take Bible, and Satan comes is transformed as an angel of light, and I said that's his religious side, that's the side that he appeals to. He doesn't mind if you just, even the devils believe and tremble. He doesn't mind if you have just some head belief, some head knowledge. Real belief is in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is very clear that the heart believeth unto righteousness, but Satan would be fine with you having a belief, a historical belief in Jesus and who Jesus is. He'd be absolutely fine with that.
That's absolutely right. I used to tell people like this. I've never been to Canada, but I believe it's there, you know. But going's a whole different matter. You know, I mean, if I'm going, I got to commit to going there. It's not just saying, oh, yeah, I believe it's there. I mean, you know, it's not just saying, oh, yeah, I believe Jesus. I believe in Jesus. No, I'm trusting him. I'm fully depending, relying, and trusting him to get me to heaven. And I know, you know, one thing, and I know we're getting off topic, brother, but I just want to say this. I know there are a lot of people out there who don't like Brother Curtis Hudson, and I know Brother Curtis Hudson made some mistakes in his ministry, and he put some things out there that really confused a lot of people. But one thing he did say that I always liked is when he was giving his salvation testimony. He said when he was a little boy, him and his brother Bobby had been trapping rabbits all day long. And they'd been doing that thing where you set the box up and put the stick under it, and when, you know, and a rabbit would run under there, get the carrot, and he'd pull the string out from under it and pull the stick and catch the rabbit. And his brother Bobby had caught a rabbit, and he didn't catch one. And he was laying in bed that night sharing a room with his brother Bobby, and he was looking over there at him, and he was thinking some horrible thoughts because he was mad at him. And he got under conviction. And he remembered in church that people said, you know, you got to ask God to forgive you all your sins. And he said he laid there and he was trying to remember all his sins, and he was asking God to forgive him for this one and for that one. And finally he said he got so just totally disturbed in his spirit because he realized there's no way he could remember all of his sins. And he said, Jesus, I want to go to heaven and I want to trust you and I want to believe on you. And if I go to heaven, it'll be all your fault because I can't remember all my sins. And he said, you know, that was the moment he got saved because he put it all on Jesus and it wasn't on him. He came to God and he said, you know, Jesus would be all your fault because if I go to hell because I'm trusting you. And that's when he believed. It's not a matter of just saying, oh, yeah, I believe he is. I'm believing him to take my sins away.
Amen. That's true belief. Is that belief from the heart that changes a man and that causes him to be dependent on God alone for salvation, and that he sees no goodness in himself. And Satan's gospel sees some goodness in works and some goodness in what you do. And there is a gospel that Satan preaches. You find that in Galatians chapter 1. You find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul talks about another gospel. He talks about someone preaching another Jesus. And that we have to be aware of those things.
Absolutely. And it's so prevalent today. So many people are preaching a false gospel. It's so sly. And again, it's nothing more than Satan still ascending his throne. Just do it this way. And I'm telling you, he puts a good face on it. He makes it look good. He puts a big slick smile. And so many religious denominations out there that look so good and they sound so good and they act so good, but yet they are poisonous, more poisonous than a cobra, because they'll damn your soul to hell with their doctrine. And they have been deceived because the merchandiser has made merchandise of them with some false doctrine and deceived them into believing a lie.
That's his work. The God of this world, he's blinded the minds, blinded their hearts, and he's okay with a little bit of Jesus mixed in with some error. He's okay with that. He's very religious. He doesn't have a problem with you being religious. He doesn't want you to be born again.
Right. And brother, I tell you what, we've only got a few minutes left, but anyway, just want to let you know we've got about 5 minutes left in the program. If you got some final thoughts, by the way, I want to say thank you to those that have called in tonight, and thank you for their help and their contribution to the program. Thank you for those who've been listening tonight. Some call in just to listen; they can't get us on the computer, but they call in to listen. And I just want to say thank you to all of them and all our listeners out there on Blog Talk Radio. Brother, if you got some thoughts, you want to close us out. You got about 4.5 minutes. I'm just going to let you run with it.
Well, Satan, when he was that anointed cherub that covereth, when he had that position, it was the most exalted position in all of creation. He was around the throne of God. He covered the throne of God. He heard everything there. Nothing was kept back from him to see and to hear of all the blessings of God and everything. You know, that goes to show you that somebody can have all the power in the world. They can have all the access to God in the world. You know, if your children grow up in a Christian home, and that does not mean that they're going to be saved. That does not mean that they don't have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. On the contrary, it means that they do have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they do have to be born again by the Spirit of God, and we have to be on our guard that they don't think just because their parents are saved that they're Christians.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, that's a danger right there. Just thinking, hey, I'm going to get in just because mom and dad are getting in. I've been in church all my life. What a deception that is. And Satan absolutely gives them a false sense of security.
Same thing with Judas Iscariot. When Judas Iscariot was here with Jesus, I mean, he was right there. I preached a sermon. Judas preached a sermon called Judas Went to Hell from a Baptist Pew, and you could too. It doesn't make any difference. You can go to hell from a Baptist pew, from a Catholic pew. You can go to hell from anywhere. It doesn't mean just because you go to a Baptist church doesn't mean you're born again by the Spirit of God.
Absolutely not. Some of the most wicked people I've ever known were Baptist deacons. So, absolutely. Just because you hold a position doesn't mean that you've got a position.
That's right, brother. We have to understand that Satan is very deceptive as that anointed cherub. You know, he is the god of this world now, and that's what he does, and he is here to deceive the masses, and that's exactly what he's doing. But never forget that he was created with all kinds of power and all kinds of wisdom, and we don't know and understand the exact authority that he has now. We understand he's the god of this world, but the power that he has, we have to study the scriptures to see that and to understand just exactly what he is capable of doing, because he is capable of so much more than we give him actually credit for. But at the same time, he has a kingdom here that works for him. He has devils and he has fallen angels that work for him, all trying to mimic the things of God, all trying to have an anti-kingdom, different and separated from the kingdom of God, that he would war against, that he would round up as many that he could to war against God and his kingdom.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely right. Well, brother, we've run out of time. We've got about a minute and 20 seconds left in the program, and so we're definitely not done with this subject. We've not exhausted this subject at all. So next week when we come back, we'll be back on this subject again. If that's all right with you, I think we need to continue to thresh this thing until we've got all the chaff out of it. And so I want to say thank you again tonight, brother, for being a part of this thing with me. I couldn't do it without you. And I just want to ask our listeners out there to lift up Brother Cooley in prayer. He preaches an extensive amount. His voice is rough right now. He's going through it with his throat. Pray for him that God will bless him. And I just want to say thank you tonight for all those that called in. And as we say here on the program every week, let God be true, but every man a liar. And folks, I'm telling you, we do this because we love the Lord Jesus. And get your eyes off of this world. Get your eyes off yourself. Live for the Lord. Get next to Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to guide you and comfort you and give you strength and guide you into the truth. And get your eyes on Jesus. That's all you need to be concerned with in this day and time. I'm Brother Brandon Teague, and we'll see you next time.